we want to take a few minutes to look at the life of the late Korean-American artist Nam June Paik, who's widely credited with being the father of video art. He had PhDs in Renaissance music and philosophy, played classical piano. But in the late 1950s, he came to New York and joined new friends like composer John Cage and began smashing barriers, smashing pianos, in fact, and black and white TV sets. Nam June Paik was excoriated by early art critics, but then came an iconic installation. He put a seated Buddha in front of a television, watching himself on the screen. Suddenly, Nam June Paik was a star. He coined the phrase electronic superhighway. He predicted TV would replace radio and someday everyone would have their own channel. With the inventions of the handheld video camera in the 70s and then the internet, he was right, wasn't he? Amanda Kim's new documentary about Nam June Paik's life is titled after one of his art installations. Moon is the oldest TV, is now running on PBS. Amanda, you are Korean-American, but you're young. Did you always know about Nam June?
My mom reminded me that in my home, there was this kind of stone box. My dad's cousin was an artist in downtown New York and knew Nam June, was friends with him. And he liked to offer his friends little knickknacks, little doodles, gifts. And so he had offered it to her, and she had given it to my dad and my mom. More recently, I came across TV Buddha, and it really inspired me, and I wanted to learn more. So I started Googling him, and I get into these like really intense internet research holes.
Yeah.
I thought he was extremely charismatic. I thought he was extremely intelligent and funny, and I was wondering why no one had ever made a doc about him before. So I decided to try and make it myself.
Well, thank goodness you did. And thank goodness you took us down those, you know, those rabbit holes, because it's astonishing, the impact. You know, long before The Who was smashing guitars, here's this guy, you know, smashing pianos. Here's a sound of that from one stage show. A foreign critic is narrating. And your film, it's like a giant collage of interviews, news clips, archival footage. There's Allen Ginsberg, cellist Charlotte Moorman. She would do these art installations with him where sometimes she'd be naked, or he'd put little helicopter propellers on her chest.
Hi.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
Oh, no, this is very serious. They're so big, Pike. I'm not an airplane.
Talk a little bit about some of this work and what it was meant to do.
One thing that was really exciting to me about Nam June, but also a challenge in telling his story, is that Nam June was really hard to define, and even his art practice spanned a lot of different mediums. He did sculptural work, performance artwork, and he collaborated with Charlotte Moorman and did these like amazing nude cello pieces. He was really interested in breaking the taboo of classical music and nudity. The kind of through line of all of Nam June's work was that he was always trying to challenge the status quo and break the rules. So why do you have to play a violin the way you're taught with the bow and strings? You can drag it on the ground and it can make just as, you know, beautiful music.
So he seemed to be wanting to tear things apart till he got to the very essence of it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, destruction and creation are not that far apart. I think that was really a part of his ethos.
Yeah. As he's going along, though, he's certainly making waves in, you know, the artist's lofts in downtown Manhattan, but he's not making money. He's kind of like a Charlie Chaplin character, walking through the streets of Lower Manhattan with a violin that he's dragging by a rope, his head inside a television, you know, without its innards. There's something sad about him.
I don't see it as sad. I think it's empowering. It's a way, a lot of times, his almost performative actions and the way in which he plays jester is a way to challenge your assumptions. He's almost disarming you with a sense of humor. I think that's really powerful in the way that he does that. For me, the performative actions of him dragging a violin or him sticking his head in a television are different from the money issues that he faces, particularly as he detaches himself from his family and he moves away from home. And the art that he wants to do is extremely expensive as well. And New York is such a hard place to be as an artist.
Well, talk about home, being Korea. And how much what was going on in Korea impacted him?
You know, Korea was one of the poorest countries not that long ago. So in 1950, when the Korean War broke out, you know, Nam June left home and most people didn't even know anything about the Korean War, particularly in the West, or anything about Korea. And I think that inspired a lot of his work to try and connect the world and spread Eastern culture in the West.
Yeah. As he starts to command some attention beyond the avant-garde art world, you have some wonderful historic, footage. He works with the famed director David Atwood at WGBH in Boston. This is 1968, you know, wanting to use their televisions there and use the television studio for all of these effects that he's working on. And of course, now they're second nature to us. But at the time, you know, as you describe it, some of the engineers there were just like, what's this guy doing with our TVs? Yeah.
I mean, basically what Paik did was alchemy. He moved the screen from being something that's plastic or concrete, and he liquefied it.
And then there's a show with WNET in New York. This is 1984's Good Morning, Mr. Orwell. Now, the first live global satellite broadcast was back in 1967. That had the Beatles and Marshall McLuhan. But Nam June wanted to bring a satellite broadcast further. He enlisted his home country, Korea, and others for what was the first live satellite art show?
Yeah, so it was the first kind of art installation on live television connecting many countries on New Year's Day.
It was insane. I mean, George Plimpton is the host. He gets drunk as the thing goes along. Various performers are stoned. You have Laurie Anderson. Is she singing with Peter Gabriel? Who's she singing?
Yeah. When I see the future, I close my eyes. I can see it
now. We had best vector, they all got out of their mind, you know, really panic around 45. I mean, it's just panic, you know. I just let it happen. You know?
That's Nam June Paik saying later that the best part for him was the mayhem in the control room because things wonderfully fell apart. Amanda, you tell us critics thought it was a waste of time, but millions watched in places that had been isolated. And that's also his legacy. You remind us he'd watched his home country, Korea, torn in half. He wanted to use instruments of war like satellites to bring people together. He envisioned a future that binded us all together?
So one thing that I really admire about Nam June too is that, you know, he was extremely prescient, but he was also always willing to evolve his ideas. So in the 70s, he wrote a proposal coining the term electronic superhighway, which later Al Gore used in the 90s. And Nam June then, a decade or so later, called his friend in the middle of the night and said, actually, I don't think it's a highway. We're in a boat in the ocean and we don't know where the shore is.
That's right.
And so he understood that the internet was going to be this murky place and finding the shore was going to be the key.
Yeah. What should we think of him? What should we know about him? I feel like you, that he should get more credit.
There's something about Nam June that really spoke to me. I wanted people of my generation to hear his message and see his work. I think that what he's talking about is so relevant to the world that we're living in now, where all of these communication technologies are coming out. We just take it for granted. We're just mindlessly using these things. And I think Nam June was always challenging and questioning these new technologies through his art, deconstructing and then reconstructing in new ways how we can use these things to serve humanity. And you look at his art, like, you know, the Buddha watching itself in a closed circuit loop, and you think so much of what we're, you know, us constantly faced with our own image, obsessed with our image on our phones, social media. There's so many things that it makes you think of today. And I hope that Nam June can inspire us now.
Amanda, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Robin. It was a pleasure.